Hello and welcome to the Ramon Foster Show, starring the one, the only, never to be Usher. I tried.
You tried.
See what happened? Never to be.
And we're live, so you can't start this over again. Yeah.
No. We're stuck with it.
Hi, Moan. Man, what's going on, DK? Since we're messing up words, let's not mess up this one thing. And everybody hit that like and subscribe button, okay? Before we even go any further, you heard us trying to improv it with DK's opening monologue right there. And we missed because that's just what we do, right, DK?
It's almost baseball season, and I'm ready for strike one, apparently.
It is. I wanted to ask you about somebody in particular. You know who I'm going to ask you about. Paul Skeens. Is it the real deal from what you saw? Is it sustainable?
Yeah, that's actually the main thing that I would bring up. For anybody who doesn't know, Moan, that is asking about, the Pirates had the number one overall pick in the Major League Baseball draft last year. Paul Skeens, the potential generational pitcher who was chosen out of LSU, made a big impression in Bradenton in spring training. He made a big impression on me, for what it's worth. An individual, he's got a star type personality, Moan. I mean that in the good sense. I mean, he knows how to carry who he is. He's got that swagger about him, but he's not cocky, if that makes sense. He wants to lead a team. Every time he talks about something related to big success, it's about the Pirates. Now, the Pirates announced today he's going to start out in AAA. Yeah, there's a reason for that, though. When you jump up from college to the minors, your biggest transition, your hardest transition, is pitching every fifth day.
Okay. Well,
he hasn't been in the minors. So yeah. In colleges, for anybody who doesn't know, you pitch once a week.
Once a week. Yeah, absolutely.
So he has to be built up, or else you're risking losing that valuable arm to injury. So this is one of those very few times where I'll back the Pirates on this sort of thing here. So it's exciting, Moan. I'm not going to lie.
It is. And I knew we were going to get our one. It was Brian Junker. I expected better from you. Can we get on with football, please? No, not just yet. Okay, come on, Brian. It's Moan Day. It's how we open.
Only city in the world where all three teams wear the same colors and have the same first name. Never forget that.
No doubt.
The Steelers, about the Penguins, and the Pirates are the equivalent of a single entity. They all play for the city of Pittsburgh and in the city of Pittsburgh. None of this goofy playing out in the suburbs nonsense or any of that stuff. You know what I'm talking about?
The mailing location is exactly as the city is what you're saying when it comes down to the Pirates, Penguins, and Steelers. So, huh, DK?
It's one and the same. And you got to see some of that yourself, Moan, whenever the Penguins won their Stanley Cups. They came over to see the Steelers. They brought the Stanley Cup into your locker room both years. And Sid loved that because Sidney Crosby is a Steelers fan to the core. So is Yevgeny Malkin. And you know that too.
I know. 100%.
Those guys are there for you. You got something for us today, Moan.
I do, man. It's a real good conversation. It was started from a clip I saw this past weekend. And it was from the newly retired Aaron Donald, AD, however you want to call him, the walking gold jacket. And he has some very interesting conversation about respect. Everybody in all sports, I feel like, want validation from your peers more than anything. You guys, DK, mean a lot, right? Like, the writers mean a lot, okay, because you're the ones that set the Hall of Fame and all those types of things. But peer validation is where you want it. And there's a guy on the team in particular, TJ Watt, that got the highest praise from a guy, Aaron Donald, who is first ballot, DK. Ain't no other way around that, right?
He might be the only one on that ballot.
His conversation was super cool because he said, if there's anybody that's been snubbed for defensive player of the year, it's been TJ Watt. He's like, because when you look at the body of work, he said he probably should have won it two or three more other times. He said, if I'm ever chasing anybody in this era of football, it's gotta be TJ Watt. If I gotta say, well, he said it in a sense, he's always getting at least 15, 20 sacks a year. He was like, he's always got 20, 25 TFLs. And it's a situation to where he gets snubbed and he's not sure. He actually said TJ Watt get snubbed, and this is from the highest of the highest, as far as our generation of defensive players saying this about a guy that, yeah, he has a city attachment to as far as TJ is concerned, right? From Pittsburgh, Aaron Donald is, no, and TJ represents the team that he grew up watching. So I'm sure he has an eye on what that guy does week in and week out. He said, I'll be looking at the box score and see what TJ Watt did this week and see if he got 3 sacks, I got to get 3.5 sacks. And that's where it comes in. And he said the exact same thing we've said on this show, DK, is, hey, when it comes down to watching what guys do, how you judge them, he said, I'm a guy who look at results. Don't give me all the other fluff. Does he or does he not get the job done? I think it was that win rate rush stuff or pressures. He said, no, TJ gets results. He's like, and that's what you're chasing in this sport right here. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not sure if they put pressures up there when it comes down to a Hall of Fame records. They put down actual stats that the NFL hold. And that's where, to me, from what Stephen A. just said, from AD's lips to God's ears. That's essentially what he justified in his comments over the weekend.
The Myles Garrett Hall of Fame plaque is going to have his pass rush win rate on it. And and young children will walk up to it over there in Canton with their parents and say, Mommy, Daddy, what's a pass rush win rate? Well, son, it means that he almost got there. It means, why is he here then? Well, I don't know. They could have left him outside because then he would have almost made it into the Hall of Fame. They should put the plaque outside the building.
Which is insane, man. But I just like when it's justified and players seeing what's real and what's not. And for a guy like Aaron Donald to specifically bring up TJ Watt and how he spoke highly of him and the stuff that he's doing in the league, I think is one, hopefully brings more eyes to TJ and the justification of who's supposed to win the defensive player of the year. That's what gets me with this type of stuff is, and I know the politics has to play a part in it. I do feel like from the beginning of this 2023 season, it was Myles Garrett's year. It was the year that he was supposed to win and win big, and he got it, DK. It just felt a little dirty. If you're Browns fans, you probably don't care. Heck, they've been saying for the longest, their guy is that good. But when you look at the actual results of it and how you compare one stats to the other, I mean, it's not even close most years, DK.
No, it's not. You know, we're being reminded here that you've been delinquent in your duty here today.
As far, oh my gosh, you want to talk about
you the believe bell? That? Yeah,
I do, man. I just we had to
we're
get that
8 minutes back. In and you didn't ding the bell. You had to get that out of your system.
My bad. All right. I had to get that. Here we go.
Guys, the last couple of days down in Orlando, Florida, we've heard from Mike Tomlin. That was yesterday. We've heard from Omar Khan today. I don't know that there's been seismic news out of that. There's been some stuff that's maybe raised a couple of eyebrows here and there, obviously, about quarterbacks. Anything that they say about quarterbacks is gonna be news. The other thing that came up, Moan, that I found interesting is they're acknowledging that they're going to be aggressive and going to get a center in some form, but they are not conceding that to be just a free agency thing. And it feels like they're starting to put on the, and they've done this in the past.
Yeah.
They put on the face where it says, listen, we don't care who knows. Okay. we want a center. And what was most interesting out of all of that to me anyway, was that they said that the centers aren't a deep class. And that's something that you've said as well. You've mentioned the same three players again and again and again.
Yeah.
And I'm sure they're talking about the same three guys as well. And that makes you, whenever you start hearing stuff like that, that makes you think they're going to get one up high.
Yeah.
I wasn't really convinced of that until now.
You got to somewhat believe their first report sometimes whenever they say stuff like this. Mm-hmm. Now, it'll get more and more cloudy as the draft get closer and people start talking about, you know, well, you need this and you have to have that position. The fact that they're openly talking about a center this early in the offseason, where we're about a month away from the actual draft. So you really feel like this is getting more real as they get close to where they are as far as the draft board setting itself up. When it comes down to where they're picking 20, unless they move up or move backwards, it seems to me that is a prime spot. You got to remember, Marquise was picked at 20. Other first rounders were in the teens or a little bit later. That's just where you are. And if you feel like you got a day one center, when it comes down to Jackson Powers Johnson, Zach Frazier, or I think Cedric Van Praan is a later round guy, but they can all play. They've all played big time ball also. And to stabilize your quarterback situation and the offensive line, I think we all recognize this too, from the time that Marquise came in to where they are right now, as far as trying to find the guy, the instability that you somewhat had with Mason Cole at times, right? Whether that be the smallest thing like the snap, whether that be he's not getting movement, having a really good center stabilizes inside out. And yes, the tackles are just as important, but that middle three, and I think even more so in today's NFL, is becoming more and more and more important, because you know why? Mm-mm. Those dudes who are bigger DNs, those dudes who are linebackers that got a little size on them, you know where they start to attack more now? The interior.
That do this. Middle triangle. That's what I was doing. Yep.
That triangle. 100%.
So Garrett, we just mentioned Myles Garrett. Garrett did it to Pittsburgh this past season.
Time and time again. And mm-hmm. then think about it. When this league goes one way, whether it be offensive, defense, the other side goes the opposite direction. And I do believe we will start to see more runs, more big man ball. The size of these tackles that are coming out this year and the centers. Like if they do draft, and I know a lot of people love Zach out of West Virginia. Zach Frazier out of West Virginia, wrestling background, all those types of things. But if you can get the opportunity, and I'm going to look up his size just so I can get him for you. If you get the opportunity to see how big Jackson Powers Johnson is, like, he's not a small individual. You look at Kansas City center, a big guy also. There's room in the NFL for those mm-hmm. types of dudes. Just recently, I'm looking at the Titans signing at center from Denver, Lloyd Cushenberry, who's the highest paid center, I think, right now in the world. He is like 6'4", 315. Those dudes are maybe even close to 6'5 when you look at his height and stature. And playing in the AFC North, I will never not say that's a thing. You have to have guys that can move the line of scrimmage. And Jackson Power Johnson is a dude that can potentially do that and stabilize starting inside out when it comes to the offensive line for me, DK.
Ryan Lytle points out the Steelers had a couple of signings today. One of them was Quez Watkins, the wide receiver. These aren't exciting. Watkins isn't exciting.
Role players.
Yeah, Van Jefferson is not exciting. And that also points me in another direction, Moan, which is if you're getting these types of wide receivers and you're just kind of doing this with them and you're dotting them onto the roster and you're maybe setting them up to have competition in training camp, see who makes it, who doesn't, who can contribute on special teams, can Watkins find – as Ryan points out here, he had decent numbers in 22. He also had a hell of a touchdown against the Steelers, if you remember.
Yeah.
On the left sideline, he just smoked everybody. Guy has unbelievable speed.
Mm-hmm.
But all of that's pointing toward a wide receiver up high.
In the draft. Yes, it does. Yes, it does.
You've been calling for that all along.
Yeah, definitely.
Yep.
And that was even with Deontay. Right?
Yep.
This conversation was even with Deontay mm-hmm. on an expiring contract and stuff like that. By the way, let me pay this off real quick. Jackson Powers Johnson, 6'3", 328. And he looks like he's 6'4", 6'5", like if you see him in person. He's a big individual playing center.
He's got kind of that barrel chest.
Yes.
Type of build. Okay, now I know what you mean when you say he looks bigger, because when they have that really – broad, thick upper body, way upper body above the torso. That's when they kind of strike you where you go, whoa, you know?
Yep. And again, Zach Frazier, 6'3", also Cedric Van Pran is 6'4". So again, stabilizing that up the middle, Kevin Schwartz says, wrecking ball material. Yes, that's what they are. And going back to the wide receivers real quick, if you sometimes just watch what they do, like Coach Tomlin is going to give you answers to the test, or you're in situations, just watch their movements. Trade away Deontay, knowing that George needs another guy, and they're signing mid-tier, and I wouldn't call them necessarily camp bodies when it comes down to Van Jefferson and Quez Watkins. Prove it. If anything, to me, Quez's situation may be, hey, we're bringing you in. Why? Because Calvin Austin III, hey, we need to see if you're going to take that step too. You either getting better, DK, and this is going into year three for Calvin. Not to say that he's on the outside looking in, but everybody, and this is something that Coach Tomlin and Omar have said as of late, they want to create an environment to where competition brings the best out of everybody. And I think that's why you see a similar signing in Russell Wilson before Kenny Pickett found his way out, and also bringing in Justin Fields. I mean, you still got two dudes that are battling to try to solidify themselves as, for Russell, a Hall of Fame caliber, and for Justin Fields, hey, I am a NFL quarterback.
Pittsburgh Hornets has a question for you. He says, hey, Moan, who would potentially take Jackson Powers Johnson before we get a chance in the draft? I see speculation about Cincinnati in that regard, but I think the more telling thing is that when you look at these mocks, Moan, the first round mocks, the answer to that is nobody.
Nobody.
You don't see him. You don't see him in the top 20 all that often.
No.
I don't think you have to. I see all this. You have to make a move. You have to make a move. You have to trade up. I don't think you do.
No, I don't think you do either. You know why, DK? Because there's one player that's going to throw this entire draft off if it goes through.
Who's that?
JJ McCarthy.
Why do you say that?
Rumors are because that puts four quarterbacks in the top five potentially, with what I've seen. You got the Chicago.
Quarterback factor, the quarterback push. Okay. Yep,
the quarterback push. All things point to Chicago picking one, Washington picking one at two, New England needing one, and then four is Arizona. Or who's picking four? Goodness. Four is Arizona, but they expect to trade from Minnesota at four because they also need a quarterback.
They need a quarterback, and then Marvin Harrison Jr. is up there, who might actually be the best player in the draft, just saying. Yeah.
But it's all on needs, right? You're drafting in a need basis, and a lot of these a lot of these teams need quarterbacks. And it all points to it because Minnesota's traded. Well, they got the 11th and I think the 23rd pick. As it stands right now, for them to move into the top 10, they're going to have to potentially have two number ones, and 23 is almost an even exchange, or maybe a little bit off. I think somebody told me you might have to give up a first and no later than a fourth to justify moving up from 11 to before 7.
And Nicole says that Omar mentioned trading for a center. He actually, for full context, Nicole, what he actually said was, respectfully, he said, we could trade for one, we could sign one out of free agency, and we can draft one. He said, we have three avenues. And afterwards, if you're one of the reporters who's in that circle, you're going, really? Really? You had three ways that you could, like, what would be the fourth? You, like, construct him out of clay? I mean, that's the only possible way you can add a player to your roster. So everything was there. That's just what Omar's doing, is he's looking to fill the time, okay? Yeah. He knows he's got to be out there answering questions for X amount of time, and he's looking to fill it up. That's
one of those front office speak situations right there, right, DK? Yeah, like,
I mean, I told you I was either going to trade for one, I was going to sign one out of free agency, or I was going to draft one. And you guys, I mean, don't say I don't tell you the truth.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I hate that type of stuff, but it's so real. It's just like, man, just tell me it. Like you said, he was feeling media time right there, DK, more than anything. Answering because, as Marshawn Lynch would say, because he don't want to be fined.
Our own version of Stephen A. says, there are a few corners who might creep into the top 15, top 20 as well. That's accurate. I think you're underselling that one, Stephen. I also know... I'm sorry, unless it's the best player available and it's the clear best player available, I don't want to see another corner. I just don't.
I think they didn't do well with Joey Jr.
I mean, that's a really, really good looking pick.
To have two young corners, though, that's asking a lot.
Right.
That's asking a lot of them to be able to have the mindset and have the growth to understand that they have to grow up that quick. And then you got to also say this, too. That's putting a lot more on Minka's plate as far as making sure guys line up. The middle linebacker situation, who's learning a new defense, that puts more strain on them. And, I mean, think about how rookies get exposed, right? Like, you're putting yourself in a bad situation just to say, oh, we got a very talented corner. I ain't opposed to it, but that's a hard ask right there.
It really is. Colton asks, hey, Moan, how do our defensive guys take this hip drop tackle being banned? Is it a big deal or not?
I had Ryan Clark on my Nashville show Friday, and I asked him before I can even finish the question. He was already up in arms about it because it's how many instances they've had of. I think it's maybe about 20 guys that have gotten injured from it, and it's an ugly injury every time it happens.
But he's saying
their ability to defend is getting shorter and shorter because – again, the guys that are utilizing this for the most part using undersized linebackers or secondary. You don't hardly see defensive linemen doing it because they don't have either the speed or they don't have to use that. But if you're telling me, well, I got to have the perfect tackle every single time, then it complicates my job even more. Defensive guys have so much mud in the water when it comes down to them being able to do their job. And if you take away not hitting them in the shoulder and head area, right? And then if you have guys that openly tell you, don't hit me in my knees, then the best way for them to tackle sometime is to grab around the hips and drag down. The thing about the drag down gator roll stuff is a lot of DBs have been burned because they're smaller. I mean, those tight ends,
they slide off.
And they just slide off the tackle.
Mm-hmm.
And Ryan Clark even told the story on our show. He said it everywhere for the most part. Hey, I've had guys come up to me, wide receivers, that tell me, I'd rather you hit me up top in my neck and head area instead of knocking me out for a game or even a season or ending my career. And that's like where the evolution.
Yeah,
instead of going low. So it's just complicated. Are they happy? Absolutely not, man. And I'll be honest with you. I feel for them, but I also hate it because that's how Mark Andrews got injured. Tony Pollard got injured. And there's been numerous others that have been documented and saying that tackle sucks. It just does.
I wish I had answers on this one, Moan. All I do in these cases, when I'm in that locker room, I just listen. I just listen because I'm not out on the field the way you were. But what I hear when I listen is repeated references to flag football, especially from the defensive guys. Cole Holcomb, Quan Alexander would talk about this a lot. TJ talks about it endlessly. They're starting to, and I could see RC getting really fired up about this given his style. Sometimes those ESPN guys or whatever, they have to really like gin themselves up artificially on a certain subject.
My show down here allowed him to go off. Like he was piped up about that one, DK.
If you're a defensive player and you approach somebody and you go, okay, hang on a second, checklist, no head, no. Okay, and then also not this, and also I don't want to end the guy's career, so what do I got here? It has to be either the perfect torso, upper torso tackle, or it's just no good.
Or if they're going through the air, to your point, to where they launch and leave the ground and try to hit you lower, you risk helmet and knee, which is, a concussion most times, or a flag because you're launching, or penalty, or fine, right?
Really, really tough. Brian says, I would trade back a few picks and draft an offensive tackle, and then trade up with the pick we get from trading back and draft a – what the heck?
Brian.
Says, hey, Moan, why aren't centers more valuable than tackles when centers call out defenders and they start the play?
Perception, period. You've lived in the evolution of the NFL is starting to put more of an emphasis and microscope on the interior three. But historically, all you guys, Kevin, I'm throwing you in there too. All you guys have focused on are tackles, which is why we just had our guy Brian here ask about tackles again. Okay, moving back to select the tackle and all that type of stuff. The perception is you can just plug and play three dudes up the middle. You know what coaches are starting to realize? No, you cannot. You got you got trench monsters that are being birthed that are 300 pounds that run 4.7s, that are long, that are very agile, that are maybe a tick too slow to play DN, but they move inside. The perception is you want your big athletes playing tackle. That's the biggest issue that you're running into, and everybody's neglected the middle three. And yes, I'm very passionate about this because I was a middle three guy, okay? From guard, center, guard. Yes. Now everybody's been awakened up to see if you don't have somebody that can secure the pocket, then you really have no protection because once they push and flush, you're in the arms of the defensive ends or outside linebackers at that point. Perception is why.
Stephen A. wants to know if the snubs get to players, they bother you. After a while, does it take a toll on the mentality of a player? Speak for yourself on this one, Moan. You wanted, and you felt you earned a Pro Bowl selection in 2017.
I'm going to be honest with you, more than 1 year. Yeah.
Okay. That was the one where I heard it from you the most.
Yeah. It does. Does it take a toll? It can, but it turns into off-season motivation. It turns into, well, watch me go try to prove it. And you hope that you get enough time that eventually they'll see your work out there. If you don't have that tag or that big TV moment most times, especially from players that get snubbed, then you probably will never get it. Because, again, when we're talking about the public goes on what the NFL pushes. I'll be honest with you. Like I said, in my day job, I had no idea who Lloyd Cushenberry was as a center from Denver. But this dude is a walk-in Pro Bowler, potential all-pro center that nobody knew about. Because why? We care about Kelsey. We care about Humphreys. We care about Detroit center. Nobody ever recognizes you unless you have that moment. Now, Steven's question is, if there's a guy like Jackson Powers Johnson that is drafted in the first round, you're going to know him. Why? Because he was a first rounder. He's coming with the praise already. That's no knock on him. But when you come down to players getting that recognition, you either need to have a moment or be a high draft pick that's actually doing what they tell you to do. And for the rest of the guys, man, you got to think. You just go about your job or hope that the Pro Bowl turns into a flag football situation and every quarterback that's on the list get an opportunity to be a Pro Bowler.
And the onus for all of this, by the way, just keeps going on to the players. You figure it out. That's what it is. You know, they're going to come into La Trobe, and they're going to come into the other 31 camps. They're going to show you video, right, Moan? They sit you down in a classroom. And this is not the Steelers that does this. It's NFL officials.
Yep.
Okay? This isn't something that they trust the teams to handle. They want a consistent message out there. And they'll show you the video, and you'll watch it, and you'll be sitting there like this, shaking your head through the whole thing, I'm sure. But that's it. That's the beginning and the end of it. From there, you're taking it out onto the field, and you're just expected to be able to police this yourself.
And you better. It's either that or get fined. And if you get fined enough, you're going to get suspended. When it comes down to player safety, how many times will it – depends on how egregious it is.
And then on top of that, you're getting flags in-game, depending on what the infraction is, and then your coaches are mad at you and your teammates are mad at you. And, again, all of this onus falls onto the players. And I'm not one of those people, and I know Ramon isn't either, who would advocate against player safety.
Yeah.
But there also has to come a point where you go, I mean, listen, we signed up to play football, right?
Yeah. Yep, we did. We did. Okay.
We understood what room we were walking into for the sign up.
And then it turns into also DK workplace rules.
Yep.
Follow the rules or reap the consequences behind it.
Richard says that he got a full left shoulder replacement to go with his 5 hip replacements. Moan, what's the most serious or painful surgery that you've had?
I had a scope on my knee. I was blessed. I ain't have anything too crazy. I'll be real with you.
The same one, the beginning of the year?
Yeah. That one. That was probably my worst, the hyperextended.
You got lucky, man.
I did get lucky.
11 years at your position? What's the best ability?
Availability, baby. Knowing you're going to knock on that door every single time.
That's how you get paid, too.
I had an epidural my rookie year. I don't want to call it epidural because I wasn't in labor, child labor. Okay,
don't describe that.
But I had DK know exactly what it is.
I don't want to hear it.
I had a nerve block in my low back. I had to do, and I also had I had a neck block too. But those were sit out for a few days, and crazy. And I also got this finger situation. I see somebody bringing that up. That one won't straighten out anymore. Oh, and this thumb right here is a
boo boo on your finger.
That thumb right there is stretching way too. You see it? Like, it's not supposed to do that. But that's about it, though, man. Nothing too crazy. Nothing like Marquise or Dave ACL or anything wild like that.
Yeah, anything that would linger. And what I like best right now when I see Marquise or I see Dave or I see Al after and out of retirement is that they walk around just fine. They seem, 100% in terms of their health and everything. And I'm always asking that. And no, I do not want to hear about the needle in the spine.
On the neck. I had the video for that. Do I want to show
more the three in the neck? I don't want to see the video. I don't even want to think about this right now.
DK is squirmish about this.
No, thanks, man.
Not you, DK.
Randy Wagner says, we have the impression that Mason Cole has great presence and leadership qualities. Would it be beneficial to try to sign him for a backup role? Randy, I'm going to take a stab at this one because if you're Omar Khan, that's a conversation you already have had with the athlete if you wanted him back. Am I right, Moan?
100%.
Where you just say, hey, Mason, we really value having you around here. How about if you hang around for like 2 years at XX million dollars? You know what I'm saying? Mason says, I think I can do better than that out on the open market.
And the other side, though, too, again, this is a performance-based league that we're in. You're based off what you do on the field, Randy. What I'll say about that is the snapping issues, problem. The issues where he couldn't move people off the line of scrimmage, problem. It somewhat handles itself. And then the other side, though, is this for me when it comes down to Mason Cole. He's been a starter in this league, and the fact that he finished out the season as being a starter, it's hard to get guys to take reserve roles in the years that he's in. What is this for him, like 6, 7, 8?
Like, I was going to say, I think he's 28 years old. I could be mistaken.
He's still starter caliber. And it just his caliber just didn't meet the standards that this team in Pittsburgh wanted. That's the issue with a guy like him.
Yeah. Jake says, it doesn't seem like you had too many concussions, Moan. You're too sharp.
Well, that's a personal challenge. I'll be honest with you. I had a few, but that is a personal challenge to stay sharp. Honestly, talk to people. Have open conversation. Stand on top of the mental side. I do believe. And this is me just in general. It's my thoughts on this. This ain't scientific. I do think that type of stuff, concussions, goats, as far as the effects of it, one, if it's going to happen, it's going to happen. But I also look at that situation and say you also have to stay engaged. You can't become a vegetable. You got to stay on top of whether it's reading articles, whether it's reading books, whether that's having good conversation, forever learning, staying active. I've seen guys who played a long time in the old NFL, for instance, right? Like a guy like Munch. And I've seen him, one, play brain games, do those types of things, having the ability to stay on. Guys that have major issues have been guys, I think, that go away, don't seek help, disengage. In their own little bubble, disengage. Yeah, for sure. But that's a personal thing right there when it comes down to how you stay sharp and how you take care of your mind and body, too.
Don't be bringing up Wordle today. That Wordle last night was a streak buster and a half. You should have. I was cussing out everything here within earshot. What a brutal word. Yeah, they do that. There's a list of like the all-time worst streak busters on Wordle, where words where you go, oh, come on, you know?
I found.
I guarantee you, everybody lost their streaks last night. I can promise you that.
No doubt. I found it, DK. If you want to see it,
that Wordle.
No, that video.
No, I don't want to see your video. It's gross. Steven says if it was really about play,
that right there is the needle. That is my spot. I knew
he was going to do this. Never bring this up, people. He always has it in his phone and he shows it to you. It's gross.
You want to see it go through? Like, watch the needle go in.
Nah, man. It just went into your spine. Look at that.
And that was in 2015 in camp. And I don't think I missed a game that year. So when it comes down to like people questioning, do you love this type of stuff? Like, these are the things that fans don't see, which of course is hazard pay, right? You're compensated for this. But there is a level of don't question how I was, man. It's crazy.
I was 30 yards off to the sideline when that happened, and I was just 100% sure you were done.
Crazy.
And next thing you know, there he is in Cleveland. Steven says if it was really about player safety, it would be an ejection and not a penalty. Okay, Steven, what do you want to do here, though? You want to just throw everybody out of every game? I mean, there has to be some kind of Merrill Hodge and I had a conversation about this. Merrill feels probably more strongly about this than anybody I've ever met. Okay. And he gets pretty easily amped up anyway. But on this subject about football and concussions and about illegal hits, he feels so strongly that there are ways to manage this just through the culture, through the community of the game. Okay. That when someone comes along like a Vontaze Burfict, who is breaking all of the codes and everything else, you get him out of the game, but let the rest of the game handle itself. You don't need to be putting in 5 billion regulations and fining everybody. What you need to find out are who are the people who are intentionally attempting to injure you and get them out of the game.
I agree with that, because that puts more pressure on the coaches, because if you remove a player, then they have to change their game plan. They got to figure out what's next for the team. They have to have the ability to be fluid, and that puts back the pressure on the player. That's actually a really good point right there, DK. Instead of hitting their pockets, because a lot of guys have the mindset, man, if them dudes is making 15 plus million, like, they don't care if they get fined 50,000. I mean, you do, but you don't, a lot of people, okay, I'll eat that one, is what they'll say. That's tough, though.
I like this one here. Slap Murphy just wants it to be like hockey. You just take off your helmet and just fight. Who would have been the best hockey fighter? Skates exempted. Don't forget Skate.
Huh? He was erratic. Marquise, because he's erratic. Super erratic. Cam, I give it to him.
who did he slug on the bottom of the pile in Cleveland?
That was Miles Garrett, wasn't it? Oh, Larry Miles. O was in there too. Yeah,
Larry O was in there too.
Yeah, he's with us now. but yeah, man, let them fight. No, I think you can do that in hockey because they are on skates. Yeah. Like, we're talking about traction with cleats in the ground and size differences and stuff like that. Like, nah.
You know, one of my favorite things about you, you were the only guy on the line when you were playing. You were the only guy on the line that I would notice. You would do this. I don't think I've ever said this to you before, but you'd be in a game like against a Cincinnati. It was always a divisional game. And you would do something bad. Something nefarious. But you knew nobody else saw it. You knew you got away with it. And you had this walk about you. Look, am I doing this right?
A little bouncy. I've seen that walk.
And the shoulders would kind of do this. Like, I just did that.
Yeah, there's a game within the game, DK, okay? There's a game within the game, and always is and will be.
More stuff that we don't want to know.
There's always a game within the game. But you know what's crazy? The NFL caught that stuff, though. You get a FedEx behind that.
James Harrison once said every hit he put on a player, he wanted them to be hurt, but he never wanted to injure anyone. And there is a difference. There is a difference. If you're hitting a quarterback with all you got, you want them to feel it. You want it to impact the game. You want it to impact their ability to play. You don't want to break their leg. It's a difference.
There is a difference. And the same way that, I mean, some fans like seeing that type of stuff. If you're a medical student or something like that, the ragu strap. But players don't like seeing that. You know, yeah, the shoulders pulling the pads down and everything. The thing about it
the
is.
The 7 and the 3 just wiggling out there.
Figuring it out. You doggone right, man. But those types of injuries mess up the flow and mindset of the game, too. So James is 100% correct on that. It does. I don't know how we finished the Shazier game. I don't know how we finished the Cincinnati game. Well, perfect. Like, it's so many different situations. You just, like, just go do the job, I guess, and finish
it.
Gotta
do the job. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back after this. You know, it's 63 degrees and immaculate sunshine here.
Beautiful.
I was outside going for a walk before we did this. You know where I'm going afterward?
Right for another walk?
Right Marcus for another
Square?
Walk.
The Marcus Square?
Okay. Actually, other direction, 6th Street, where all the eateries are.
Okay, for sure.
By the way, always pay attention to the little tips that you get from people as a reporter. Take them all seriously, even the ones that come completely crazy. The reason I say this is 2 months ago, and I'm sharing this story for the first time, a buddy of mine that works at the 7-Eleven down there on 6th Street texted me and said, you know, Russell Wilson and his whole posse were here last night across the street eating at Redbeard's, which is like a sports bar.
Okay.
And I went, yeah, sure they were, Don. Right.
You didn't believe him. Didn't make any sense.
Didn't make any sense. What would he be doing here? Now, later, you find out, well, he's connected to someone with Acrisure, not the stadium, but the actual the company. And he, you know, he's not the one that's connected. I believe it's his girlfriend or something.
His wife. I'm not sure about that. Yeah.
And this was the whole story. And I'm like, nah. Imagine the great big exclusive headlines I would have had.
Oh, you should have ran with that, DK. But yeah, it didn't make any sense.
No, it didn't make any sense. And I didn't have multiple corroborations on it. Armin says the Redbeard's on Mount Washington. No. This is the Redbeard's in downtown. There's two of them. The original was on Mount Washington. This one is downtown on 6th Street.
It makes sense for him to be downtown. That's probably what he had him stay in and everything like that, too.
Mr. CJ says, I got scooped. No, I didn't. Nobody reported it. But yeah. Except for the dude in 7-Eleven, but you know, that's how that goes.
Yeah, he is married also to DK to Sierra.
Yeah, that's what it says here. I don't know who that is. Yeah. She's a singer.
Big time. She's pretty big time. I'm gonna be real with you.
I mean, I don't doubt that. I don't
I wasn't saying that for you to feel like you were left out. She's a thing, DK. She's pretty big time, man. I gotta give it to him.
She probably can name the bass player for New Order, so I can do that.
She might know that. I'm going to be real. She might know that, DK. She might. This one right here is pretty hilarious to me. They have a charity. Okay. The whole nice guy, bad guy routine perfected. Yeah,
you're the king of this. People, he's something else as soon as he crosses that first set of chalk. Okay? He's something else.
When you're presented with your rookie year, if you can fight, then you can last here in this league. You better find a way to perfect it. Also, this too with the rules changes that are happening, with all these rule changes with the kickoff, with drop hip, and just all types of other things that's happened over the years. Football is still a very physical sport. Football, I don't think, will ever get away from big hits. Football just wants to be above board when it comes down to safety. Like, even I look back at some of the older stuff and see guys peeling back on dudes. And when you can't see somebody coming in the opposite direction who weighs 250 to 300, cleaning you up while you're trying to do your job on a peel back block, and you're knocked out, and the next thing you know, you wake up, don't know where you are. Like, if that was you, I don't think you would celebrate that, okay, in those moments and say, oh, it's okay, it's just a game. That right there is a different game. But football is still physical. Football is still, hey, you need to prove what you say you're going to do in that sport. You can't just talk in football. Like James Harrison said, there is a level of physicality where you want to impede, hurt on somebody, right? There is that. But to absolutely injure somebody, that's a different thing. There, I promise you, it's definitely physical these days.
Yeah, and by the way, everybody's mentioning Joy Division here. Joy Division was the precursor to New Order. I was speaking correct. I'm way more of a New Order guy than Joy Division. Now look at Moan going, oh, you didn't know what Ciara was.
I see what I'm saying. They're going to be on you. Here's a good one before we go.
All right, Moan wants one more.
That's bad because it's a good question on the hip drop. Okay. If you're even with or slightly behind a guy, what is the best way to bring him down? Grab the hips. Try to fully wrap up. The thing about the drop hip was it allows you to get your legs off the ground, use all that body weight of yours to pull them and pin them down to the ground. I think there's a level, and I'm not a defensive player, where you can grab the hips, either sling them or grab the hips and get closer and drag a guy down. Eris, I don't know. We all going to adjust to it.
Even picture it, isn't it?
It is.
I got an idea. Just pull the flag out.
That's what it's going to be, DK.
All right, guys. We'll see everybody. We'll see everybody tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah.
Peace. All right. Bye-bye. All right.